thank you for being here today. It is truly a blessing for you to be a part. Amen. And let's go ahead and look at Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9 today. We've been going through the book of Mark. And we're in chapter 9 now, verse number 1. Only one verse today. That means it'll be short. Well, maybe not. But anyway, we'll see how it all goes. Amen. Was a blessing. I got to teach the teen class today. Amen. Man, it has been a long time. I was actually a youth director for 6 years. Loved that time frame. Loved working with the youth. Probably because I just relate really well, amen, with the younger generation. Amen. For whatever reason, whatever that means. Amen. But truly a blessing to be able to do that today. It's been good. You can ask them how it went. Amen. But we'll just leave it at that. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for this day. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to open your word freely, God, and be able to preach out of it. We know that these are truths of thine. This is your word, not mine, not somebody else's. It's your word, God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would lead us and guide us in all truth as he's been given to do. And that, God, that it would become, as it says in Hebrews, Lord, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. God, I pray that you would help us today to be discerned, God, from at our thought level. And God, that you would help us to draw closer to you today. We love you. We thank you. We need your help today. Without you, God, we're in big trouble. But God, if you'll do a work in our midst, then God, we'll be very thankful for that, and something good will happen today. Help us now, I pray, and just take control of this time we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. In this text here that we just read, Mark 9:1, Jesus tells his disciples that some of them, those that are there with him, shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Amen. Now, this word power is the word dunamis. It's literally talking about a miraculous power, a strength, a force, might and ability, abundance of miracles, supernatural power. That's what this is referring to. So whatever your thought is on the kingdom of God today, we're just going to bring forth scripture. We'll let God speak today on it and see where it might lead us to. Amen. I want to read Mark 8:31 just back in Mark 8. And then I'm going to look at some of the synoptics on this text. And so back a few verses in Mark. And then we'll look at the synoptic in Matthew just for a moment, to kind of get an idea of what's going on here. And chronologically speaking, this is right in line with what we just come out of here in Mark chapter number 8. In Mark 8:31, the Bible says, "And he," referring to Christ, "began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." And so we know it's at this point there that he begins to teach this. He's been in Galilee now, moving down the coast. And so he's beginning to teach now and show that ultimately his life will be concluded on earth with crucifixion and, of course, dying 3 days later, rising again. And he's teaching this unto his disciples. So the group that's being dealt with here, the group that Christ is speaking to, is his disciples. So in Mark 9:1, where it says, "And he said unto them," he's talking about the 12. He's talking about that group. Maybe a few out about. There were other disciples that did travel with them, but it's a very small group that is with them at this point. And these are the ones that are being told that they shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now in Matthew 16, if you want to flip over there, you're welcome to, or you can just listen either way. But Matthew 16, then we'll look at one verse in Mark 9. But in Matthew 16 and in verse number 24, Matthew 16, verse 24, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Verse 28 says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Very interesting. Coming in his kingdom. And then in Luke 9:27, it says, "But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." So what is Jesus referring to in these texts, specifically in our text, Mark 9, 1? We're going to take a look at that today. And what was Jesus talking about prior to this? Well, if you turn back over to Mark 8, 34, we'll see exactly what he's talking about. It's the same in these other texts, these synoptic texts. They give a little more detail, but in Mark 8, 34, be very familiar if you've been in services, because you'll see these things that we've already preached through over the last few weeks. Amen. Hopefully you're able to engage this morning. I know everybody's kind of tired and all that, but it's beautiful outside. It's a wonderful day. Just open the Bible. Amen. Jump in, learn a few things. Amen. From the scriptures. I hope that you're in tune to be able to do that with us today. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says this: "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So these are the things that are being discussed prior to our text in Mark 9:1. Jesus talking unto the people about being saved, taking up their cross, following Christ. He mentions, oh, you know, what would it profit if someone lost their own soul? If we seek to gain life, we will lose it. But if we'll be willing to lose our life for his sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. These are the things that are being discussed. And then he mentions lastly in verse 38, he does mention the coming of Christ and the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So by context, whatever he was talking about in the fulfillment, as in Mark 9:1, we see him start here in our text referring to salvation, things of that sort, and then, of course, his coming. And so this will be the onset of some of these thoughts and teachings. And so as we begin to look at this text, just kind of keep in mind that context. The last disciple that would die of the 12 would be John. And John, we do have a glimpse of him in his later life. He's actually on the island of Patmos. If you look over in Revelation chapter 1, and in verse number 9, John the apostle, he had a very, very, fruitful life after Christ departing. And then, of course, the disciples would go on and teach and preach Christ and establish churches. But he would be in Asia Minor, and he would actually be persecuted by Diocletian, by tradition, boiled in hot oil. And he was actually exiled to a little island in the Aegean Sea, and that island called Patmos. He would be left there to die. Ultimately, he would be there. And then this was actually written about him in that time frame. In Revelation 1:9, it says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation," watch this, "and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." So John was one of those standing with Christ as Christ actually spoke in Mark 9:1, and we know that he's close to dying, and he would say here that he was already in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. That's very interesting that he would say that. And what we want to do is we want to just look at these scriptures literally. We get on others for becoming figurative in things, amen? And so first we're just going to look at this literal and see what the literal fulfillment is of these things. Now, we know that a kingdom is a realm of a king, right? If there is a kingdom, it's a spot of land, if you will, a realm, and there's a king over that nation, we might call that, amen? And so look at Mark 1, if you will, with me today. And so John was in the kingdom of Christ already, it says, before he died. And can I say that I believe, being born again, that I am in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? In other words, the king that I serve would be King Jesus. Amen. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I hope that all of us here today could say that, that there was a point in your life where you realized that you were a sinner and that you came to Christ for salvation. He died on the cross, was put in the grave, and then 3 days later he rose again, and he proved that death could not hold him. He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave, took his own blood, made an offering there in heaven on the mercy seat of God so that he could become yours and my propitiation, the covering for our sins. Sin is the issue that mankind has being birthed into this world. Now, in Mark 1, notice in Mark 14, it says, now after that, John was put in prison. Now, this is a different John. This is John the Baptist. It says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, Jesus is clearly teaching in this text that the entrance into the kingdom of God is through the gospel. So when did the kingdom of God come with power? As Jesus stated in Mark 9:1. That's a good question. Jesus said that it was coming, right? He says the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. If something is at hand, it means it's close enough to grab it, right? That's what at hand means, is that it's right there. It's right there to be able to grab. And he says, he actually then gives a command here. The time is fulfilled. It says the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And we know Paul, after he went through and established a bunch of churches later on in Acts, he said that repentance and faith, he's preached amongst all nations. Amen. So we know that the components of the gospel that we're concerned with and interested in is that repentance side, which is our part where we stop trying to save ourselves, right? Repentance is when we realize we're not a savior. Our good works can't save us. Being connected with a group like a church can't save us. Being baptized can't save us. These things we do doesn't save us. We repent of that. We turn from the thoughts of that. And then we completely look to Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we turn from those things and by faith accept what Christ did as full and final payment for our sin. If we'll believe, if we'll trust Christ, if we'll call upon him as our Savior, we enter into his work of salvation. So repentance, turning from everything else to include ourselves, turning from our sin, turning from those things, and we're looking unto Christ. And then as we look to him, we ask him to save us. We trust him for our soul's salvation. So repentance and faith. Christ began to preach it. John the Baptist preached it. Christ preached it all the way through. Paul preached it. And we preach it today. That's how one does get saved. And so, but he does say here, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then connects that repentance and the preaching of faith as well to it. So you will find the phrase, this phrase, kingdom of God, you'll find kingdom of heaven. You'll find these used frequently by Christ. We'll also find once kingdom of Christ. They are different, but they do have overlap. Remember, a kingdom is a realm of a king. And so the kingdom of heaven is the realm and governance of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Looking forward, how beautiful heaven must be. And do you know in heaven there is, it's a realm, it's a literal realm that our saved loved ones that have already gone on before us currently dwell, amen, absent from the body, present with the Lord, hallelujah. There is a kingdom of heaven and heaven has a king, amen, and it has order to it, amen, praise the Lord for that. And then there's the kingdom of God. That's the realm and governance of God. All that God is over. And in a sense, he's over this world, but he's given allowance by the devil for now to be the prince and power of the air. When sin entered in, then we find that there was given, you follow the scriptures, that actually Satan will be cast out of heaven and the angels that would choose to follow him, a third of the angels would follow. And they have some, in a sense, some order here of governance, right? And we find that in Ephesians where it talks about that I'm trying to think of the actual word for the groups that are set up here. slipped my mind for a second, but nonetheless, that they have a structure here as well. And so they actually govern, in a sense, the world as it is. Now, God overall has governance. He has set things in motion, which they cannot go against. But there is a demonic realm over this world today. And we know that to be true. And so the kingdom of God, interestingly enough, the Bible says that it was at hand. And so prior to Christ's coming, God, in a sense, existed outside of the governance of the world, in a sense. Not completely, but over the carnal aspect of it. And so when Christ came, he kind of broke into that. And then as you and I become believers, now there's what's going to be called ambassadors on earth in this realm, right? And so this realm being governed by another now has ambassadors on it, and ambassadors represent other nations. Amen? So United States has ambassadors in other nations. They have a consulate and they have ambassadors. And if you're there, you can come to the United States embassy, and you can actually, it's like a little spot of that nation in another nation, right? While you're on that ground of that consulate, while you're on the ground of that embassy, that the rules that govern that are from the other nation, right? And so we, in a sense, our church, are then also the saints in and of themselves, we are like on an ambassage, amen? Our home is in heaven. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we are here for a time, but we're not of this world anymore. We are actually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am a citizen of heaven, amen? I am now under the realm of God, and that is not true of everybody on earth, according to Romans chapter 8, amen? And so that's kind of how this works. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, I believe literally refers to Christ's kingdom, which is coming. The 1,000-year reign of Christ, which is coming after the tribulation period, where he rules and reigns on earth, that will be the kingdom of Christ. Now, in Matthew 3:2, it says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we have earlier on him talking about the kingdom of God is at hand in Mark 1. And here we find in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Both of those at hand. Amen. Within reach. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that you today have potential access to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? It's pretty amazing. Amen. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Again, for something to be at hand, it means that it's within reach. The acceptance of the gospel is our entrance into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse number 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened means to be made alive, alive with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ, we already have our place in heaven, right? It's in Christ. So that in the ages to come, not just one age, not just a few moments, in the ages to come, we will more practically not only realize this, but be able to have Christ show through us the riches of the reality of what this means. While Elon Musk and others look for Mars to be a future planet to inhabit, I don't need Mars or the moon or some other celestial body. I don't need that to inhabit. Why? I already have my exit from here, and that would be in heaven. Amen. I'm already seated there. My place is already reserved. My inheritance is there, reserved in heaven for me. and you as well if you're a born again believer in Jesus Christ. We have now access to that kingdom. We, in a sense, don't even have dual citizenship in that sense. We are citizens of heaven, and we're on an ambassage here on earth till he comes. Amen. Now, look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16. This is where it really gets fun. As an ambassador, you are a representative of another nation while you're in the midst of that nation. But you also are the one that have the ability to potentially, as the rules would allow, bring forth other people into your nation. Amen? Amen. Matthew 16, verse number 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. A key is something that unlocks a door, right? And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, what was he referring to here? If you look back at verse 13 of this same text, Matthew 16, it says, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Very important. By the way, who you believe Jesus is, because Jesus, historical figure, he walked this earth. It's well-proven fact that Jesus walked this earth. You and I have to determine, who is he? Who was he? Right? And so Jesus asked the disciples, and then specifically Simon Peter. It says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the Muslims say Jesus was just a prophet. He was just a man. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. It was not God. You can go on and on and on about what people say. Some believe that he was just a man. Some believe he didn't even exist. But then again, some people write a lot of people off for existing. Nonetheless, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, what is the rock? The rock is not Peter, even though his name would mean stone. The rock that's being referred to here is the acknowledgement and declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you join the church, you don't have to say, I believe that Peter was the apostle that Jesus gave the keys to. That's not the rock. That's not what gains us entrance. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So to enter the church, we don't have to make the declaration that Peter was the one that was given the keys. That's not what it is. The way that we enter into a local church is by being saved. And what that means is that we accept that we could not save ourselves, and we turn from any attempt as such. We recognize ourselves as God has told us that we are sinners. We agree with God. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, which is believing that the condition that Christ says we have, which is a sinner, is legitimate. And that as sinners, we deserve to go to hell. That's where sinners go. There's found no place for them. And so we not only believe our condition, but we believe we can't save ourselves. And we believe that Jesus came to be that Lamb of God who would shed his blood, die on the cross, go in the grave, and raise again. And we believe that that was sufficient to pay for our sin issue. And if we believe in that, then we have his salvation, his righteousness imputed to our account. We're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is not only the entrance into the church, it's the entrance into the kingdom of heaven, you see, by being born again. That's what it's saying here. He says, based on this, and I say unto thee, verse 18, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why is that important? Well, we are in a different nation. We dwell on earth in the midst of a different nation. You don't have to look real hard to see that we're different. We are a peculiar people. Amen. We follow a different drumbeat. Pardon the expression. We follow a different king. Amen. Jesus leads us differently than the king of this world leads his people. I am not looking as a child of God to see how much I can act like, walk like, become like those that are following a different king. Right. I'm fine being a peculiar person as I follow my king, King Jesus. Amen? And so I am just making my way through until my king calls me home. And you, I hope, would say the same thing. But we are on ambassage. We are a representative of God's kingdom in this kingdom. And while we are here, God has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven so that others can enter in. And the key to entering in is to repent and believe the gospel. And God has given us the ability through the Great Commission to present this as a means for people in this nation, like we were, such were some of you, so that they can leave this nation and come to the nation we're a part of, which is God's nation, the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that amazing? Mm. And if you can understand that, it will greatly help you in the midst of this perverse and crooked generation. Amen. All right, look at Luke 17. Jesus was asked, this is vital. This verse right here, vital for understanding the kingdom of God. Jesus was asked by the Pharisees about the kingdom of God coming, about its coming. And in Luke 17, verse 21, it says, Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Sometimes the knots and all that stuff in scripture can throw us. Not with observation. Observation means something we observe. We see with our eyes, we observe it. And so when Jesus pressed by the Pharisees, he said, remember, because they were looking for Christ to establish. They were looking not for Christ. The Pharisees were looking when the Messiah would come, he would establish a rule, if you will, a kingdom, right? And we know they were looking for that at that moment. But he said, Jesus said, when the kingdom of God comes, it's not going to come with observation. You're not going to see it with your eyes like a new nation being born. Very interesting. He says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. Today, the kingdom of God exists in God's people. Amen. John, on the Isle of Patmos, he was in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. But wait a second, he was on the island of Patmos. And the island of Patmos was not under God's jurisdiction as landmass, right? It was really more of a Roman's jurisdiction. It was actually a prison island. So in a sense, it was under the jurisdiction of Rome, but John said, I'm here, but I'm under the jurisdiction of God. Amen? Because it was within him, and nobody can take it from us. Amen. And so we see that. Look at Matthew 10. When Christ sent his disciples out to preach, he told them to speak of the kingdom of heaven. We don't use this language as much anymore, although we definitely can. That we have the opportunity to invite people to flee this realm and this nation and enter into God's economy or nation through Christ. And that is fine language to utilize. Matthew 10 and verse 7, Jesus said this to his disciples, "As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And can I say, if you're here today and you're lost, the kingdom of heaven is at hand today. It is within reach. It is right there. Amen. And it's like standing on the border. You're on the border. You can step in, but you got to come lawfully. Otherwise, you're illegal. We don't really understand that in our nation today, what that means. Amen. Amen. But God understands it. Nobody's sneaking into heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody's getting in illegally. Amen. Nobody. Amen. Those that are there legitimately. Now, some people will sit in churches. They've learned how to dress the part. They've learned how to speak the lingo, Christianese. They've learned how to, you know, hang out and act like a Christian, but they're not part of the kingdom of God. They're not part of the kingdom of heaven because there's no imposters. There's no imposters in God's kingdom. Amen. So look how this continues on now in reference to this. He sent his disciples, and it says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes on to say, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Now, what we're going to find is that the kingdom came with power. The power that it came with then was a realm to show truly, as a fulfillment of prophecy, truly this is the Son of God. Truly this is the Messiah. Now, we know that as the Word of God was complete, some of these sign things like that also diminished. But can I say today, the kingdom of God is still here with power. And you and I, as believers, have more power than often we want to act like we have. Amen. If you will allow God's power to flow through, watch what happens. He says this in verse number 10 of our text to the disciples as they would go. Or verse number 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Now, New Testament, later on here in Matthew, or actually it was earlier in Matthew, but it would definitely apply to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are going to be applied unto you. God will make sure that we have our temporal needs met while we're on an embassage here for him and his kingdom. Verse 11, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to it. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And can I say it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the United States of America and all the gospel that's here, all the word of God that's here, all the preaching that's taken place, for all the people that were so close to the kingdom of heaven and rejected and said, no, I'll remain in this kingdom. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for this city also. Amen. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for in it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now, what we're going to find in this full text, there's that. The thought of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, coupling it with the kingdom of Christ, with prophecy often, there is the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy. There will be the progressive fulfillment of that prophecy, and then the full fulfillment of that prophecy. Christ, in bringing the kingdom of God to earth, he started it with he coming here himself. And then, as he shed his blood, he developed the disciples and developed that group, shed his blood, and then he said he had to depart, and then when he would depart, he would send the Comforter, who would lead them and guide them in all truth. He said, it's important that I depart so that he would come, and that this would enable on earth there to be many Christs, right? They called them first Christians in Antioch. Why? Because there's like one Christ just turned into a bunch of Christs, right? And so it started with Christ on earth. He broke in, if you will, to the devil's kingdom. And it's almost like he then started sowing seeds of himself on earth to do his bidding. So now it's not just one Christ doing the work, as in singular. Now it's many, as in many Christians, doing that work. So we see the progressive nature from one now to many, and that is spreading. And then what's going to happen is, after we're called out, that work's going to go through a transition period for those 7 years to fulfill the law, that last 7 years of that period called the dispensation of law, as prophesied by Daniel the prophet. At the end of that, which there will be people saved in that time frame, through the preaching of the 144,000, the two witnesses, then ultimately the angel in the last half of the tribulation period, of which John's class is going to learn much on, because you are outlining the book of Revelation, amen, for Sunday school. Hallelujah, that's awesome. And then, at the conclusion of that, Jesus, he comes down, meets all the Christ rejectors on earth in that valley of Megiddo, and we follow on horses, amen. Haven't been a big horse rider, but I will then. That'll be just fine then, amen. I can't wait. And then Lightning. I'll probably have a horse named Lightning. I don't know what yours will be named, amen, but I like that name. And so, anyway, we'll be there, and Christ is going to slay all Christ rejectors with the sword of his mouth, amen. And then there'll be a separation of the sheep and the goats, and all the lost will be ushered into hell. All the saved that are still on earth in that time will actually go in and establish the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The devil is shut up in a pit, hallelujah, for 1,000 years. Amen? And so we see how it started off. Christ broke in himself and then spread. You and I as Christians, we're going to go for a time. More will be saved. He's going to come back himself, amen, and do some bidding there, right there in the valley of Megiddo, where the false prophet, the beast, the false prophet, and are going to be cast into the lake of fire, amen, and the devil into a pit. And then he comes now and rules and reigns on earth, but it's not over yet. He'll do that for 1,000 years. And in the midst of that 1,000 years, there's still going to be Christ rejectors. The kingdom of Christ now ruling and reigning. Heaven has come down in a sense, amen. The kingdom of God amongst us. There will still be Christ rejectors. So much so that at the end of the 1,000-year period, the devil will be loose from his pit. He will be able to go and gather up all Christ rejectors to the battle of Gog and Magog for one last attempt. And of course, God, just real quick order there, slays them all, casts them into outer darkness, because death and hell will be delivered up, go through that final judgment. The great vacating of the earth will take place. All those that rejected Christ. By the way, there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not just religion. It's not just us doing our best. No, salvation's through a person. His name is Christ. He is the Son of God. Amen. And so the earth will be vacated. They'll go into outer darkness, the lake of fire, and then God will recreate heaven and earth. No more sea. And there will only dwell righteousness. It will be complete. That's where the kingdom is complete. But it started with Christ coming. It's continuing now with us as ambassadors here. And we're given power on earth. And can I say, this world should see that power in us. Unfortunately, many Christians act like whoop dogs, amen. Like they can't handle it. There's too much going on. Oh, no. That's not who God made us to be. We are more than conquerors. Amen. We are here as ambassadors. We're representing Christ on earth. God forbid that we're not a proper representation. Amen. Let me give you one last thought on this. Look over at John chapter 3. Maybe one last thought. I have more thoughts. We'll see where it goes. The kingdom of God today. Today we are invited to become part of God's kingdom through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. When we repent, trust Christ as our Savior, and I've already explained what repentance is, we are birthed into God's kingdom. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." What that means is, if you are birthed up by his Spirit, that you are birthed into his kingdom. And Jesus was teaching Nicodemus this. The rest of the text is amazing. We're not going to look there for the sake of time. Consider 1 Peter 1:4. It says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do we escape? Through Christ, through salvation, by being birthed into his kingdom. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If the salvation you got isn't powerful enough to change you, you might not have got much. Might not have got anything. It's a supernatural power. Heaven comes down and fills us as believers. Oh, sure, we still have sinful flesh. Yes, and we will sin, absolutely. But at the same time, the power greater is he now that's in you than he that is in the world. There should be an expression of that power through our lives. You can't necessarily gauge that to say this, that, or the other, but it ought to be evident that that's the case. Amen? Look at Hebrews 4 very quickly. As a child of God, you are now part of God's kingdom on earth at this present. With this, there ought to be a display of supernatural power in and through us on earth. Think about the supernatural things that God gives us to do and be a part of today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what God has given me the ability to do as a Christian? He has given me the ability to enter into the throne room of God and pray unto the Father. He has given me the ability to communicate with God. Amen. And if I ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Is that what it says? And we will have the petitions that we asked him of. In 1 John 5, I love this passage in verse 13. Very familiar. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, though, we don't often quote, goes on to say, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we will have those petitions that we desire of him. Look over at Ephesians 6. We not only have power to pray, and as an ambassador who picks up the phone and calls the back to their nation, right? Like an ambassador of the United States will pick up the phone and call back, and they have a direct line to the president himself. So that, because they are a part of our nation in the midst of another nation, just a little spot there. That's why Benghazi was such a horrible tragedy. How it just seemed like our nation just let that thing just crumble and fall. God will not do that with his ambassadors on earth. Amen. The point is this, is that we have to recognize who we are on earth. Amen. By the way, God doesn't just give us power so we can have a better existence on this earth. He gives us power so that we can represent him properly on earth. Ephesians chapter 6 shows us We also have power now to fight spiritual battles. I like this one. I don't always like this one because it's tough, but I like it anyway. Amen? How many here would say, man, I love the fact that God has given us the ability to fight spiritual battles? A couple. Amen. Because I fight a lot for you. I name you all by name in prayer. And I call out to God for you for what I believe God's will is for your life as He leads. And some of you I have to fight a little harder for. I'm not kidding. Is that amazing? So I don't like it. Too bad. Just the way it is. You're not the king. God is. Is that great? That's pretty. There's a sober moment just hit. I saw it. Ephesians 6, look at this. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. By the way, not everybody gets to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Only those that are true believers in Jesus Christ are on an ambassador for Him. Isn't that awesome? Which, for all of us, it's at hand. It's available. Amen. If you'll repent and believe, which hopefully you already have. Amen. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the devil does have the ability to fight against us. You determine how effective he is in fighting you. Because the Bible says for you to put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't say that God's going to put it on for you, right? It says you put it on. Put on the whole armor of God. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It would be easier if we wrestled against flesh and blood. If the people that we saw physically were where the real fight was, that would be easier. But we're fighting a battle that we don't see with our fleshly eyes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I say, who have a right to be here right now?
Right.
It's their nation. Why we see what's going on right now in our world is because they have a right to do what's going on. It's their nation. And I know we don't like it. I know. But the lost world is doing what's been prophesied the lost world would do. And they're building a kingdom. Remember, it was Satan himself that offered Jesus a right to this kingdom.
Right.
He took him up and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil offered them to Jesus if Jesus would just bow down and worship the devil. Now, how could he offer that? Because it's his. We literally are fighting against principalities and realms that are well entrenched, know what they're doing, and have a right here. We're on enemy soil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? You're going to need it. Amen. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's why the truth is so important. That's why we preach and teach strongly the word of God. That's why we don't just want the preacher to know the truth here. We want everyone to know the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. What we do matters. Righteousness matters. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's preaching the gospel. It's part of our armor. Above all, taking the shield of faith, believing God, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. Why? To protect your head, that deliverance, that thought of deliverance, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, Paul said, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You won't believe, verse 20. For which I am and what?
Ambassador.
Woohoo! An ambassador. It's all about that. He's showing us that for you to be on the proper ambassador here on earth, you have to recognize you are part of another nation here on earth. As an ambassador, you better take unto you the whole armor of God, because we're actually not just representing another country. We're in a battle for the souls of mankind, and we can actually rescue some and bring them in, amen, to the kingdom of God, as we have an embassy set up to do so and power to make it happen. Amen. I think that's a tremendous thought. Jesus said, if you go back to our text in Mark chapter number 9, Jesus actually told the disciples that he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And they did. Judas was not one of them that saw it, because he by transgression fell. But the others did. The Holy Spirit came down and empowered them, and they went on from that day of Pentecost in power for the Lord until they died. Amen. But the kingdom of God on earth didn't die. It lives on through each of us today that are believers till Jesus calls us home. The events of the tribulation period will take place. And then the huge event we all look forward to, that second coming of Christ to come and establish his kingdom on earth, it will happen. It has started and it will continue through just as he said. And I get to be a part of it. Amen. On his side, part of his kingdom, I'm on enemy territory. As with the powers of an ambassador. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians. I am now an ambassador in Christ. So are you if you're a believer. And we get to bring other people in through our consulate. Wow. Pretty amazing. The question I have for you today is this. It's at hand. Are you part of God's kingdom today? Have you been born again? Truly born again? No illegals. No imposters. This isn't about what people think. It's about what God thinks. It's not about what I think. It's about what God thinks. He knows our heart. That's a scary thing. People say, listen, don't judge me. God judges me. Like that's a lesser judge. No. No, he knows us through and through. And he will make all things right. But he's offering to us today to be a part. I hope you've accepted him in that. And if you have, do you recognize your part as being an ambassador for him? Our kingdom's in heaven. We're here for a time. The kingdom around us is antagonistic at best. Amen? It's dangerous. It's a place that the devil wants us to be hushed. He wants us to not be able to do what God's put us here to do. And so we must have on the whole armor of God so we can be effective for our kingdom, the one which we love. I'm patriotic to my kingdom back home, amen. I'm not ashamed. No. I'm not ashamed of my kingdom that God has given me part of, amen. Hope you're not as well. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. And Lord, this is a tremendous reality and a lot of teaching today, a lot of scripture. But in the midst of all of that, God, I pray that you've excited each believer here to a position and place of reality of which they have, God, given to you. Not only citizenry in heaven, but then a realization that they are an ambassador here on earth so that we can reach out and bring others into the heavenly kingdom. And God, might there be some here today that are not part of your kingdom in heaven. They're part of the one on earth. And God, I offer unto them today a hand that's reached out so that they can be brought into your kingdom through Christ unto salvation. Bless richly now, I pray, this invitation time in Jesus' name.